You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Titus, have you found it?
Yes.
Ready for the Word? Expecting. Anticipating. And receiving. You know, an expected, a hearing ear is an ear that expects, anticipates, and receives. Hallelujah. So it's what you come with that's going to make the difference what you leave with. And it's not always me. Sometimes I'm not right and the sermon's flat, but sometimes you're not right and the sermon's flat. But we all get right. Boy, that's a hot sermon. Amen. So we have to look at ourselves and I have to look at myself. But if we come with a hearing ear and we come expectant, we'll be changed and we'll never be the same. And God has something for you. He really does. He wants to bless you. Every service, He wants to bless you. If you come with an expectant and a hungry heart. I always say this, two things you need to come to church with. A hunger for God. And then a willingness to change. Because, you know, if you're under the presence of God, God's going to deal with you about something. He's going to make an adjustment. He's going to speak to you. And you're going to have to change something. Maybe it's a deeper commitment. Maybe it's the way you're living. Maybe it's a confession. But something in there, you're going to hear something to apply. Knowledge, the end of all knowledge is action. There's a purpose. There's an intent. God's Word is meant to be done. It is the doer of the Word that's justified, not the hearer. And so we hear to do. And we are here to do. We're here to hear something to do. To apply to our family, to our job, to our business, to our children, to our marriage, to our walk with the Lord, and so on and so forth. Titus. First chapter, first verse. Paul speaking to Titus, who incidentally was a pastor. Paul speaking to him, he says, Paul, first verse, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. I love that. And the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness. Thank God for godly living.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But all this accords, of course, with the with godliness, and it's based on the acknowledgement of the truth. Everybody say acknowledgement. That's so important to acknowledge the truth. It's one thing to know the truth, another thing to say the truth, pray the truth, confess the truth, live the truth. And Paul is saying here that he is a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith. Everybody say faith.
Faith.
All right, I love that because this is the faith. Christianity is called the faith over and over. Some 30 times in the New Testament, it's referred to as the faith. I know, you know, we talk about faith, trusting God, and so on. But the whole show is called the faith. You don't want to err concerning the faith. You want to be good to the household of faith. That's who we are. That's what we do. Believe in God? Well, that's what we do. We're believers. You know, what are you going to do when trouble comes? Believe God. How do you know? Because that's what I am. I'm a believer. Painters paint, believers believe. Hello.
Hello.
I'm a believer. I believe.
Amen.
And it says here, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth. What a powerful word there. We need to acknowledge the truth. In fact, we're not doing it right if we're not acknowledging it, if we're not confessing it, if we're not saying it. You may say you believe something when you're penned or when you're asked about it, but do you normally or regularly talk about it? Do you normally say it or confess it? That's a big question. And so throughout our day, we should reaffirm and confirm and confess and acknowledge the truth. The truth is not what we feel. The truth is not what's going on. The truth is not circumstance. The truth is God's Word. Amen? You need to face, I love this, you need to face down the facts with the truth. The facts of what's happening can be changed with the truth of what God's saying.
Amen.
And so face down the facts with the truth. In hope of eternal life, second verse, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Man, I love it. You know, you can have a camp meet on that verse. God who cannot lie.
Amen.
You know, when we have problems with a situation, it's usually a problem with our faith. It's a problem with our trust. And then you could take it a little further. If we have a problem with our trust or our faith, we have a problem with our love for God. Because God says, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so the problem is not somebody else. The problem is not this situation or that situation. The problem is our relationship, our love. If we love God, we'll trust God.
That's right.
If we know God, we'll believe God.
Amen.
We know that God cannot lie.
Amen.
It may not look like anything's happening, but God cannot lie. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you acknowledge the truth. And he goes on, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested His word through preaching. Man, that tasted good. I like that. That's good. He manifested His word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. How many of you want a manifestation of God's word? Amen. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't want the promises to come alive and come to pass and manifest? You know, I preached one time on the word becoming flesh and dwelling among us, and it really boils down to this, that the word becomes flesh for us when we say, as Mary did, "Be it unto me according to your word." Because that's in the context of that, John 1:14, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of truth. The law came by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The context of the Word, the Scripture, the prophecies, the things that God had said and promised over and over for centuries through prophets, through Jeremiah, through Isaiah, that Word became flesh and dwelt among us in Jesus Christ because a woman said, "Be it unto me according to your word." That's how the Word becomes flesh. It's when you take the Word and you say, "Be it unto me according to your word." Ooh, that's better preaching. Y'all already meant it. So here He's saying that He manifests His word through preaching. Makes it known. Declares it. Shows it. You know, we're all often looking for the manifestation. You know, we're trusting God, believing God, standing on His word. And people often come up and say, "Well, it doesn't look like anything's happening." And we stand there and say, "Well, it doesn't matter what it looks like. We're believing God and we're standing on His word. We know His word's true. We know what He says is true. And I'm not going by what I feel. I'm walking by faith, not by sight." And at one point, some point, it's going to manifest, but it doesn't matter. I believe I've received it. I believe the word is true, and I'm standing on the truth. But then the manifestation comes. Hello. And we see that happening, and we talk about that event. Maybe it's a miracle. Maybe it's a financial miracle. It could be any number of things. A healing could be a marital thing. It could be something spectacular. It could be something small. But we make big of the event, and we don't make a big deal of the process. Hello. We want the power of Pentecost, but we don't want 10 days in the upper room up there praying, believing God, standing on the Word. So what He's saying, He's giving us some insight. Actually, if you took this apart, He's saying that through preaching, the Word's manifested.
That's right.
Now, don't just think in terms of me as a minister standing up here preaching the Word. Obviously, that works, and we get what we preach on. You know, I love preachers that struggle with certain areas of ministry. And if you examine it, it's generally because they're not preaching on that area of ministry. Hello. Because they're not believing or preaching or standing on it, they're not going to get it. If you notice, Jesus talked about healing all the time, and He got healing. Because you get a manifestation of what you preach on.
That's right.
God manifests what you preach. Now, if you just think in terms of preaching as declaring, a declaration. That's what preaching means, really, is to declare, to a declaration of a truth. You and I need to declare some things if we want a manifestation of some things. Now, if we want this word to manifest, then we're going to have to preach it. Preach it, brother. Come on.
Amen.
We're going to have to declare it in order for it to manifest. That's the process. We're going to have to stand up here and make confessions day in and day out. Week in and week out, month in and month, year in and year out. Hallelujah. Stand up and make those confessions because that's how it manifests. As you begin to say, you begin to formulate, you begin to form, you begin to establish, to manifest is to show the thing. And God wants to show up and He wants to show out. But God's show starts with preaching. There is a forerunner. There is a declaration. There is a prelude, as it were. There's an announcer before the show starts. And in one sense, you and I are the announcers. We declare. We're the forerunners. Our confession, our faith, our preaching is the forerunner, the manifestation of God's Word. You need healing, you got to declare it. You got to preach it. This is the process that brings the event. And so He's telling us very plainly, I mean, there again, you want the manifestation of God's Word. I want it. We all want it. He's telling us how it comes. It says, but He has in due time manifested His word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. What are you preaching to your wife? What are you preaching to yourself? What are you preaching to your husband? What are you preaching to your children? What are you preaching to your family, to your job? Hello. Because God's going to manifest His word as it's preached. Not going to do it without you preaching it or declaring it or saying it. To manifest means to readily perceive by the senses, especially by sight. To manifest is to easily understand or recognize by the mind. I think a lot of times we quit too quick. You know, we hear a truth, get a little excited about it, but we don't stay with it. You know, and so it just kind of gets blurred again, and we go back into the fog again on that truth. But if you'll keep it in front of you, if you'll just keep declaring it, keep saying it, stay with it, then it'll clear up and you'll begin to see it better and understand it better. And of course, the thing itself will come to pass. You know, as you begin to preach, declare, confess, and say, then God will manifest that word that you declare. That's all He's going to manifest is the word you declare. He won't manifest any word, but He'll manifest what you declare. Hello. What you preach. Oh, amen. Now, I'm not going to wear you out tonight. We've got a service tomorrow. But I would like for you to participate a little better than you are tonight. Hello. I mean, we can manifest some things. I love that. We can get it running. We can get it going. We can get it coming alive and show it. You know, we want to show off God. We want to show off what He's doing. And the way to do that, of course, is to preach it. You got to keep on preaching. You got to keep on saying it. Janie Grind had a song, got to keep on saying it. God's word. You got to keep on saying it. God's word. Y'all remember that?
Yes.
Got to keep on saying God's word. Just like a broke record. You know, but that's all right. If you're on the right tune, stay with it. You know, stay with it till it manifests. Stay with it till it comes. So He says here that He manifests His word through preaching. Now turn over to Mark 16. These are familiar scriptures. You're going to recognize these. I think truth for the most part is recognizable. I mean, you're not, you know, you don't get a hold of a truth you never heard before. Come on, you get a hold of truth you heard over and over and over, and finally one day you see it. Yeah. Isn't that right? I mean, how many times does it happen? You know, maybe you're sharing with somebody and they get a hold of something and you realize they got a hold of it because somebody else said it, but you told them over and over. And then, of course, being unselfish like we are, we get all upset about it and you begin to tell them, I told you that already. Well, let me tell you something. If you hadn't told them so many times, they wouldn't have got it when they heard it that last time. And as preachers, as ministers, we do a lot of retelling and re-preaching. And then somebody comes in like Jan Moore and preaches something and everybody goes wild and just thinks, I never heard that in my life. And I just had a series I taught on it last week or something, you know. But if I hadn't done it, you ever had that happen? Yeah. And what's bad is when your wife does that. Oh, God, that was the best preaching I ever heard in my life. Have you ever heard that? I said, honey, I taught last year on that whole series. You know, but thank God I taught on it. She finally got it. But what happens though is this, that you hear it enough, you get familiar enough with it, till you see it.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
You know, Alexander Pope said about that. He must teach as if you taught them not, and bring out things new as if things forgot. Okay, well anyway, that's enough of Alexander Pope. But what it boils down to is some things you have to hear over and over. And in essence, in a spiritual sense, maybe metaphorically, you're approaching that thing, you're getting nearer that thing, and things become clearer by approach. But if you cease to approach, if you quit saying it and quit praying it, you're backing up. Let me tell you something, life is short, heaven's high, and hell is high. We ain't got time for backing up. Let's go forward. Amen? Okay, you keep going forward, because the more you go forward, the more you're going to see this thing. Hallelujah. And that's God's word we're talking about here. You know, I believe all of God's word in a general statement or sense, but I also know that individually there are things that are not real clear to me, but I know they're all true, generally speaking, because God cannot lie. So I have to center in on certain truths until I get them clear. Amen? Sometimes there's a need arises up, and I'm telling you, I'm not feeling like faith man. But I know what God's word says, and I know it's true. And many times my confession is not a confession of faith. Sometimes I'm confessing unto faith. But if I don't start confessing unto faith, I'm never going to get to faith.
Amen.
Oh, amen.
Hello? You say, well, you're just faking it. Well, I'm faking it till I make it.
Hallelujah.
Well, you're just putting on. Well, the Bible says put on the new man.
Amen.
Come on. Yeah, it's a put on. A lot of times it's a put on. But this is something that will change you. I love this. This is not like movies. This is not like an actor in a play. When the show's over, they go back to their own self. If you'll act on the Word, you will never return to your old self. You become the role you're acting out. Hallelujah. If you start acting on love, you'll start loving people. You start forgiving when you don't feel like it, the feeling will start coming.
Amen. That's good.
Oh, hallelujah.
Mm.
The manifestation will come, see, as you commit and you stay with it. Mark 16, chapter. Awesome scriptures here. You know this. You could quote these about the signs that follow those that believe, and I'm not really teaching on that per se. It goes on down to the 19th verse after Jesus tells them to go into all the world, and these signs will follow them that believe. In His name they will do all these things. In fact, I was just reminded of Mo Kennedy today trying to fulfill one of these scriptures. Mo's out putting poison out around your building, is that right?
Yeah.
Literally, today this happened. Putting poison out around his building, a snake jumps, comes at him and bites him on the leg. Today.
Yeah.
And we got a call from Donegal from the prayer chain, who incidentally, they couldn't make it tonight either. I just want to make sure y'all knew that. They're another one that calls to get to make. But Donna Gale calls from the prayer chain, says, I don't know exactly what's going on, but I think Jerry called Mary Beth, and Mary Beth called us, and Mo got snake bit, and that's all I know. I thought, oh, I got snake bit. So I called him up. I said, Mo, did you get snake bit? And he says, yeah. I'm thinking, yeah. He said, it's okay, Pastor, I'm fine. It wasn't poison. He began to tell me the whole story, you know, and he said, I just did like Paul, and I just shook it off. You know, that's what I do too, snake bites me. I'd shake it off too. Where it says take up serpents, here he's talking about the devil. He's not talking about snakes taking him up. But thank God, hallelujah, for protection. Amen.
Amen.
So, he says after all that, 19th verse, after that little interlude, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, see, I told you, he just spoke to them. Aren't you glad when the Bible confirms what the pastor says? That's good.
Amen.
He was received up into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs or through signs following, in King James Version says. Now notice, and many of you know this, if you look in your Bible, that word them in the 20th verse is in italics. And that's a reason. The reason it's in italics is because it's not in the Greek. You'll find that a lot in the Bible. And sometimes it makes sense of a sentence and they'll put those words in to make sense of the sentence. When you're translating one language to another, many times they're not quite as verbose as we are, say, or vice versa. I just did that to confuse you, make me sound intelligent. Many times they don't use words the way we use them. You can't always go word for word translation. So the King James writer thought, well, this will make sense to say the Lord went working with them. The Lord went working with them and confirming the word where signs followed. But the word them is not in the Greek. And I'm not, you know, I don't have to be a Greek scholar to know that. And we're not doing damage to the text. It's just not in there. That's why it's in italics. Is it in italics in your translation? Really, what it says here, it would make sense without the them, but it didn't make a lot of sense to the translators at the time because they didn't go to International Outreach Church. But anyway, you do, so you'll get it. So it says 19th verse, or 20th verse, and they went out and preached everywhere the Lord working with and confirming the word. Because really, God doesn't always work with us. We're not always workable. Are you with me? But the Word, He always works with the Word. And there's one way you can always get Him to work with you. Always have the Word with you, and He'll work with you. Amen? God, you know, God works with His Word real simple. It's just like a painter uses paint. And if you hire a painter, I mentioned this the other night, you could hire a painter to paint a house, and he could be the greatest painter in the world. If you don't give him paint, he can't do anything. And you can come back day after day after day, and there'd be no progress. As good as he is, if he's the best in the land, he still can't paint the house unless you provide him with paint. Because he works with paint. Now, this is where we are many times with God. We're waiting on God to do something, but we've given Him nothing to work with. God works with His Word. Hello. And so we have to find out what His Word says. We have to approach Him on the basis of His promise, on what He said He would do. And you know what? That's what He's waiting on. That's what He will confirm. That's what He manifests when we preach it. They went everywhere preaching. They went out and preached. Everybody say preached.
Preached.
There it is again. See, they declared. They said something, declared something, and that something in this case was the Word, and that is what it says God worked with and confirmed. God doesn't confirm our need. He doesn't confirm our desire. He doesn't confirm even what we think is right or should happen or should not happen. God confirms His Word. So we can hurt, and you say, well, doesn't God care? Well, yes, He cared. He met your need 2,000 years ago. He cared before you ever had a need. Well, won't He move on my need? Yeah, He moved on it 2,000 years ago. Well, what's He waiting on? He's waiting on you to believe. Just like He asked the blind man, what is it that you want me to do? Just like He said in another case, do you believe I'm able to do this? He knows what you need. He's aware of what you need. He cares. But you know, this is the process. This is the way God moves. This is the way He works. So He's waiting on us to come to Him and to pray. And to pray His Word. To find out what His Word says. Stand on it and say, Lord, I believe that. Be it unto me according to Your Word. And you know what He'll do? He'll manifest that Word and He will confirm that Word. What Word? The Word you preach. That's what He'll manifest. That's why you see many churches that are real developed in one area are known for a certain gifting or a certain thrust or emphasis, because that's what they preach. And you know what? God will confirm what they preach. And they can be totally lacking in another area. And you think, man, they got this down so good and they seem to always be lacking in this area. Why? They never preach on that. And God's not going to manifest what they don't preach on. And He's not going to confirm what they don't preach on. And you know, that can be the same way with us. We can be very strong in one area of faith or the Word because we preach it, we talk it, we stand on it. We're not going to violate it. We're going to say what God says. But there may be other areas we're kind of weak in because we just don't stand in that area as strong as we do in another area. And we're thinking that, you know, it seemed like God just always does this for me, but He never really moves in this area. Well, it's not God. It's an area we need to develop in.
That's right.
Are you with me? Because God loves everybody the same.
Amen.
He loves us all the same. And so He works or manifests what we preach. He confirms what we preach. And this is a good word, confirm. Actually, it means to make firm. You might say solidify. You want to solidify the promise? You want to make firm the promise? You want to declare a manifest to show the promise where you can touch that thing and it's made flesh in your midst? Well, you can solidify the promise by preaching the promise, by standing on the promise, by preaching, declaring. Confirm means to give approval or to ratify. You want to ratify the promise? Preach it and God will ratify it.
Amen.
To make firm or firmer or to strengthen. I like that. You want to strengthen the promise? Wouldn't you like those promises just be strong in your life? You preach them and they'll be strong. No question about it. To administer the rite of confirmation, to give a new assurance of the validity of, to remove the doubt about by authoritative act or indisputable fact. I like that. You want to remove the doubt? You keep preaching it, you'll drive that doubt right out.
Praise God.
You can drive out the doubt. You can shout out the doubt. You can keep preaching it and you'll drive the doubt out.
Amen.
You'll be so full of confidence and faith in God's Word because you've been preaching it. You've been saying it. You've been praying it. And it will be confirmed. God will confirm it.
Amen.
I love that. There is confirmation on the Word. We don't go by feelings. We don't go by signs. We don't go by manifestations. But I'll tell you what, if the Word's true, there will be manifestations. They follow us. We don't follow them. But there should be. I mean, what a terrible thing. Here we are 25 years down the road in this church. What a terrible thing if we just preach healing, preach salvation. No one ever got saved. No one ever got healed. Now, obviously, that doesn't change the Word. It doesn't change what God says. But it would be tough to continue to believe after those many years and there was never a confirmation, never manifestation. Our faith's not in the confirmation. Our faith's not in the manifestation. But there is a strengthening of the promise.
Amen.
When it happens. Jesus even appealed to his works in many cases. He said, if you don't believe what I say, believe my works. They were talking to this man that was, you know, healed. He says he was blind, you know, he got healed. And they were saying, God doesn't hear sinners talking about Jesus. And he says, well, all I know is I was blind, now I see.
That's right.
And it says, indeed, a noble miracle had been done. They could not deny it. So there was some validation or confirmation of a word there. Ooh, hallelujah. You know, people can talk about giving and whether it works or doesn't work, about churches that give to missions and whether it works or doesn't work. Well, tell them to come by, see us. Walk around. We'll show them around.
That's right.
Talk about how we're out of debt. Talk about what all we're doing. You know what? We're a giving church. We're a giving church. We believe in missions. And you know, there is a manifestation. There's a confirmation to that. God has confirmed that word. Because we have preached that word. Old churches can't be out of debt. Oh, no, they can be. And we've preached that. We've stood on that. We've declared that. We've decreed that over and over and over. And you know what? Isn't it amazing how it just seemed like it's just been so easy for us looking back now? You know, there were tough times, but we stood and stood. It just, you know, we've got momentum going and we're rolling now. And now it's just part of our lifestyle, second nature, as you say, to believe these things. But we paid a price of believing and standing and fighting and winning. And God has confirmed what we preach. And we had to keep preaching it when it didn't look like it. But since we continue to do so, God manifested and confirmed that. And He has confirmed the fact that a church can be debt-free and stay debt-free and still grow and still build buildings and still give to missions. Why? We hadn't quit preaching it. We're not going to quit preaching it. Hallelujah. See, there's got to be a consistency in the preaching, in the declaring, and what you're saying, what you're praying. Because that is going to bring the manifestation. That's going to bring the confirmation. That is going to show or declare so it can be seen. That is going to strengthen or ratify or confirm it. Because that's what God works with. His word, period. That's how He does it. Now turn over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. That's an old Three Dog Night song. You may not know that one. That's okay. I never heard it either, but Jan Moore sang it for me one time, and that's how. Jeremiah, the first chapter. Jeremiah was a character, say the least. He was like a lot of people. God called him to a great ministry, and Jeremiah, of course, was ready to go full guns. Actually, he said, Lord, I can't speak. I'm but a child. You know, when God called Moses, Moses said, God, I can't speak. I stutter. You know, and of course God said, I made your mouth. I'm, you know, like you're going to tell God something He doesn't already know. And He said, you'll do whatever I tell you. And He told Jeremiah the same thing. He says, Jeremiah, you'll go wherever I send you, and whatever I command you to speak, you speak it. You know, God's just looking for obedience. He's looking for us to stand there and do what He says to do. He'll back us up if we'll say what He said to say. Amen? Notice the sixth verse. Well, back up the fifth verse. Fourth verse.
Uh-huh.
This is it. Fourth verse. Okay. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet of the nations. God foresees. He foreknew. You know, and it says here, then said I, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a youth. I'm just a child. I'm not able to do this. You know, we come up with more excuses. And none of them are valid. If God asks you to do something, that's it. That's all you need to know. God cannot lie. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth. Everybody say, do not say.
Do not say.
That's important too. It's important what you say about the ministry God's called you to. Important what you say about the calling on your life. There's certain things you don't need to be saying about what God's called you to do. Hello. It's important. God's serious about it. He wants you to say the right thing. There's certain things He doesn't want you to say. You know, I believe in God, therefore, I'm not an atheist. That's deep. I believe God's good, therefore, I don't believe God's bad. As soon as I make one statement, I've already made a statement I don't believe. You can't believe something without saying you don't believe something else. Are you with me? I believe God's called me. Therefore, double negative here, I don't believe God's not called me. Hello. And I just won't go there. I'm going to say what he said. And well, I can't do what God says I can do. Well, who are you to say you can't do what God says you can do? Don't say you can't do what God says you can do. If you're going to say you are who God says you are, then you must not say what the devil says you are. It's one or the other. Amen? I mean, God's not everything. He's a particular thing. Okay. You chew on that a while anyway. So he says, do not say this. Don't say that. Don't say, I am a youth. For you will go to all whom I send you to, and whatever I command you, you'll speak. Do not be afraid of their faces. Hallelujah. Good preaching for preachers. Hallelujah. Amen. I love Paul's prayer where he said that Jesus spoke to him and said he was going to deliver him from the people that he sent him to. I love that. I think every preacher's got to be delivered from the people God sends him to. Okay. No, well, really, until that happens, see, if you're affected by people and you're going to preach according to what they like or don't like, well, that, you don't want a preacher like that. God doesn't need a preacher like that. Hello?
Sure.
So you got to get delivered from who God sends you to. Yeah. And realize you're preaching because God called you, and preach what God tells you to preach, and love people and pray for people. And are you with me?
Amen.
Then you'll help them. But if you just cater to everything, every whim, every, you know, we listen to each other. Sure, we're a family, we're a body, and I understand that. And we make a lot of adjustments throughout the years, and we'll continue to do so. But always in view of the vision, always in view of the Word. Mm-hmm. And we can never be swayed away from that or turned from it to the left or to the right. Sometimes there are needs that rise up or legitimate desires or concerns in a congregation that people come up with that the pastor needs to listen to because they're scriptural, some things he didn't think about. I understand that's a good thing, you know, but the pastor still cannot be swayed to compromise anything he's heard God to say or do. And you can't either as a Christian or as a believer. Don't ever compromise what you know is right to accommodate someone. Hello. Or to get someone's friendship or approval. Listen, you've got the approval of God. Love people. Don't go out to look. Don't look to make enemies. They'll come anyway. But make your stand on the things that are right and just and holy and scriptural, and don't compromise those things. If you have to compromise that to get a friend, you don't have a friend.
That's right.
It's not a true friend. Are you with me?
That's right.
You know, I heard this the other day. I thought it was real good. Gifts, talents, open doors. Character keeps them open. A lot of people get doors open, they get closed. They open another door and get closed. Because their personality and their character will get a lot of doors open. Their personality will, excuse me. But their character won't leave it open. Their character will wind up shutting that door. Don't be that person. So God's saying, let's don't say that. Let's don't go there. Don't you say that. Now, I just said something to you, Jeremiah, and you need to agree with me and say amen. And don't say the opposite. Amen. He says, do not be afraid of their faces. Can't be afraid of people. For I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. God will always vindicate you. You hang in there and believe God, trust God. He'll always come through. Amen?
Amen.
Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, I love that. He touched his mouth. If you don't get your mouth touched by God, you're in a world of trouble. World of hurt. Because a fool's mouth is his destruction, the Bible says. And it says he touched his mouth and said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth.
Amen.
Ooh, hallelujah. See, I have this day set over you the nations and set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, to plant. Boy, that's power. And he's talking about the power of your tongue, the power of your words, the power of what you pray and say. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch or an almond tree of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, this is the verse I want to get to, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. King James says, I watch over my word to perform it. So what does God perform? Well, that's pretty simple. I mean, this is just really faith confession 101. He manifests his word how? Through preaching. What does he manifest? His word. What word? His word preached.
Amen.
Not his word period, but his word preached. He confirms what? His word. But there again, His word preached. You get it? God doesn't just go around confirming His word. He confirms His word preached.
Good.
They went out everywhere preaching. And the Lord worked with and confirmed the word.
Very good. Excellent.
The word they preached was signs following.
Excellent.
And He manifests His word through preaching. That's what He told Titus. And here He says to Jeremiah, I watch over my word to perform. What word? The word He just said, I put in your mouth. And what I command you to say, you say. And I'm watching. For what? For you to preach that word.
Amen.
And He confirms, He performs it. The word perform here just means to adhere to the terms or to fulfill. I like that. God will adhere to the terms of His promise, or He will fulfill His promise when His promise is preached. Ooh, hallelujah. That's better preaching. Y'all already mean it. I'm trying to close this out so these guys go out there and win that softball game. They're holding off that game until I get through. And the service is in your hands. When you get excited and start amen, and I'll tell you, I'll wind this thing down. Okay. Yay! Pastor Dan. Been moving, you know, all the nerve and traveled all over. He's ready for me. Amen. Hallelujah. He's going to stand up in the chair in a minute, jump up and down, you know. Well, to perform is to adhere to the terms or fulfill. I love that. I love that. Because God will fulfill and perform, and He will adhere to the terms of His promise. What promise? The promise you preach. That's it. He's watching now for what? For His word. Now listen, He's not just watching for His word, period, solamente no más. He's watching for His word preached. Get it? And He's not confirming His word, period, solamente no más. How's my Espanol? Pretty good. Okay. Necesito estudiar mi Espanol. Poquito. Okay. All right. Anyway, He is going to confirm His word preached. Not just any word, but His word preached. He's not going to just manifest His word, period. No, He's going to manifest His word preached. Oh, come on. Now I'm going somewhere now. See, we got to get this. See, now all of a sudden the monkey's on our back where it ought to be. Well, we ought to get it off our back, but I mean, you're not going to get it off our back and put it on God's. God's already, you know, God's not at fault, and it's not Him holding back. Many times it's us because we just will not believe or will not stand or will not say, will not pray. But, you know, God will always do what we preach and pray according to His word. Oh, I love that. He's watching, waiting, listening for you and I to pray His word, for you and I to declare it, to preach it. And He will in turn perform it. Perform means to carry out or to do. To carry out or to do. It also means to do in a formal manner according to a prescribed ritual. I love that. And He gives a rendition of or presents it. I love that. God will present that promise to us.
Amen.
If we will preach it. If we will say it. He will manifest. He will confirm. And He will perform. You know, I'm reminded of Mary. We started out talking about Mary. How that this is how the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. In Luke, the first chapter, when she came in and to see her cousin Elizabeth, another Elizabeth, her cousin Elizabeth, actually much older because she was an old age. The babe leaped in her womb, John the Baptist, who was charismatic Baptist because he was full of the Holy Ghost in the mother's womb. Oh, quit. Now, anyway. And she began to prophesy, and she said, blessed is she who believed, for there shall be a performance of those things that were told her by the Lord because she believed. Wow. Now, what did God perform for her? What she believed. He didn't perform anything. There was a performance for her. The King James Version says, there should be a performance of those things which were told her by the Lord because she believed. Wow. So what do you want a performance of? You're only going to get a performance of what you believe. And I would submit to you, really, if you took that apart, too, it's more than just some mental assent on her part. She confessed and said with her mouth to Gabriel, the angel, be it unto me according to your word. So in that declaration, God put on a show. And God will always put on a show of any promise that you claim and you stand on. Amen? That you preach. But you've got to preach it. Some things just can't come any other way. They don't come till you preach them. They don't come till you declare them. You know, I was writing some things down about the word preach. And think of preach in terms of just us declaring God's Word. Not just me as a minister up here preaching a sermon. But you think of the word preach, P-R-E-A-C-H. I begin to meditate on this. And preach proclaims redemption, encourages action, changes hearts. I love that. Proclaims redemption, encourages action, and changes hearts. And then I got a poetic anointing as I was praying about this. I've shared this before on this sometime back, but the only goals you will ever reach are the goals and dreams you continually preach. You don't physically with your hands reach it. You spiritually with your voice grasp it when you preach it. You're waiting for the glory, looking for the manifestation. God is waiting for His Word, listening for some vocalization. If you don't preach it, you'll never reach it. You only reach out and receive what you preach out and believe.
Amen. That's good.
Ooh, hallelujah. That's what God's telling us.
Amen.
You want a manifestation? You want a confirmation? You want a performance? Preach it.
God.
Preach it, brother. Preach it, sister. Get it and preach it. And God will always show up.
Amen.
Hallelujah.